Bishop Lambert is inviting all ministers and those who aspire to be ministers to join him for the Making of a Minister mentoring session. It's happening Saturday, June 9th at 10 a.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary. Come out to be motivated and inspired during this intimate time of mentoring with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. To register, contact Kim Yadawak at 215-885-2585, extension 314. Registration is free.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We don't fight after the flesh. We don't fight after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Say mighty.
Mighty.
Say mighty.
Mighty.
Through God to the pulling down of castles, strongholds. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that it is those strongholds that enables the devil to have free access to our lives. Something inside of us has not yet been destroyed. Something is still in our minds. The root of it is so deep we don't even know it's there. We have torn down the top, but the root is still there. It comes up every time certain people come into our lives. What God is saying is that that person is letting you know there's a thorn present in your spiritual life. You've got to let God deal with the thorns to rip out those things that are strongholds. Strongholds do not come when you become an adult. Strongholds start as children. They are fed by your parents' negative words. You ain't no good. You ain't gonna amount to no good. You're getting on my nerves. You're gonna kill me. I wish I never had you. My God, you ain't like my other children. All of those negative things enforce the stronghold. And so you have an internal desire to do something that separates you from everybody else. In fact, statistics prove that many of our teenage murderers, the reason why over 74% of them have turned to that lifestyle is because they did not have substantive encouragement at home. That's why it's hard to rehabilitate them. And the recidivism rate is so high amongst those young teenage murderers. They commit a crime and come right back and do it again because there is nothing of substance to get at the roots. That's why God said, train them up in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they will not come away from it. The training is not teaching. Teaching is not training. Teaching is the impartation of information. Training is character building. In fact, when they use that passage, Solomon was drawing attention to the fact that the person who was making a bow would take a flexible piece of poplar. Poplar is extremely flexible. He would cut it by the branch off the tree, skin it down to the essence of the wood, put it down on the ground, and put a rock in the middle, pull it at both ends, and tie it with a string. That was training. It was training the bow to go from a branch to a bow that can be used to shoot arrows. Many of us did not train our children. We raise them, and they have become the continuation of our deficits. That's why we look at our child and we see us, not from a genetic perspective, but from a behavioral perspective, because we did not train our child, failing to realize that children usually come up representing their environment. Then we throw them to Jesus through evangelism and other efforts of the Spirit. And they bring that neurosis to Jesus. They come to Jesus and they think that salvation is going to rid them of previous behaviors. No, it will not, because it is rooted and grounded in their subconscious. They don't even know that they're behaving that way. They don't even know why they can cuss you out in the blink of an eye. They don't even know, but that was their socialization. And so the Bible teaches the only way to rid them of that particular behavioral track is to saturate them with something qualitatively different than teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that can change a person's behavioral patterns. The Word of God can deliver you from all oppressions of the devil. The Word of God can not only save you, but it can rescue you from dark thoughts. What good is putting on the armor when the mind is still dirty? You want to talk about the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith, but the mind has not yet been changed. We're still thinking like losers. We're still thinking with regret. Are you with me? And regret is veiled. It's veiled. There are times we feel guilty about things. And the psychologists say on the other side of guilt is regret. In other words, I regret that I have to live like this. I feel guilty because I'm angry that God has called me to holiness. I feel guilty that I did something, but I regret that I have to live that way. I want to go around and be with three and four different people, but I regret that God says every man has to have one wife. I don't understand. I feel guilty that I've got two or three, but I regret the fact that I can only have one. Are you following me? These are mental observations. Paul said the devil builds strongholds in the mind. That's why you can dislike a person you don't even know. Sometimes Sister Lambert gets a little creative with cooking and she makes stuff that she knows I don't like. And so after all these years, she still tends to do weird stuff. And she'll say something that I just hate because I'm like, I don't like it. So I expect her to say, okay. But she says, try it. What the Sam Hill? Try it. Don't say no till you try it. I know I don't care for broccoli and asparagus. I know. She knows. I don't like those things. I hated them as a child. I hate them as an adult. I don't need you to tell me how good they are to you. So she says, I'm going to get him to eat this. This was the demonic thing. She says, I'm going to get him to eat the broccoli and the asparagus and all the other stuff. Now, I know he likes cheese. So I'm going to make a cheese casserole and put those things in it. I ate it. But watch this. She ain't never going to serve it to me again. Fool me once, shame on you. Me, you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, that's what the devil does. He takes stuff that he knows God does not want you to do and mixes it with what you like. He knows that you secretly want to be a millionaire. And the Bible says those who desire to be rich will fall into a snare. Boy, the amens went down. Listen, I know the lotto is $448 million. If I win, I will not be pastor. I told the people in the office this morning, if I win that lotto, $448 million, I'm taking the entire membership to Disney World. We going to rent the park, all four parks. We going to shut it down for a week if I win. Now, if I don't win, I'll see you at Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. So I guess we'll be at Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. Because I don't even play. But I believe God is a miracle working God. Sookie. And so let me finish. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Did you ever wonder why certain things keep coming back to you? The writer to the Hebrews calls it a besetting sin. And the verb in the Greek means the sin that keeps coming around. No matter how many times you try to avoid it, it keeps coming. You just can't seem to get the victory over it. We find ourselves giving into it, and we think that there's no hope for us. We literally echo Romans chapter 7. Oh, miserable person that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this besetting sin? I try to stop drinking. I try to stop smoking. I try to stop having illicit sex. I try to stop falling and giving myself to every man or every woman who enters into my arena. I try, but it keeps coming back. Well, Paul calls it a stronghold. It is something that is lodged in your unconscious mind that has convinced you you need to do it. And of all the disciplines in your body, your unconscious mind is the one that has the least amount of discipline. It offers no resistance. It goes along with whatever pleasure it has felt before. That's why addiction, while it starts in the prefrontal cortex, it ends up in the amygdala and the hippocampus. The memory of that good feeling is what you chase. The good feeling comes with the first smoke of that marijuana, or the first hit of that crack, or the first injection of that heroin, or the first snort of that cocaine. That's when it gets into your brain, and your brain doesn't know that it's bad for you, so it keeps bringing that desire, and that's what you're chasing. The addictive behavior has nothing to do with the actual stuff you're putting in your body. It's the brain's memory processors that's trying to get you to have that feeling again. And because you can never repeat the first feeling, you keep chasing it. That's why people, oh Lord, let me get off of that. That becomes a stronghold. Are you with me? We keep chasing the same first feeling. The first feeling of love. Are you with me? My first feeling of love was 7 years old in the backyard of a young lady on Van Pelt and Susquehanna. That was my first feeling of love. We sat there and held hands as the sun was going down on a summer day. She looked me in the eye and said, Eric, I love you. I said, Missy, I love you. And I could never get that feeling back again. Backyard love. And so those of you who found that your first impression was so meaningful that you keep chasing it with other people and you never find it. And even when you do find the person that you settle on, you're never totally committed because you're still looking for that first thing. And you keep comparing it to the first one you had. That's why God said, save yourself till you get married. Because the worst thing to do is get married and compare your husband or your wife to your past lover. Now, your past lovers will always be better lovers than your spouse. And the reason for that, don't go ooh, ooh, ooh. The reason for that is that it's just emotional. It's just emotional. You don't have bills to pay with these people. Bills steal romance. You can't get frisky when the electric's off. And you lighten candles not for romance, but to see. Everything changes when you become legal. God said, no, don't let yourself get caught up. Why? Because what you do not know is sexual intimacy is soulish. It's not physical.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3318.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.